This is Brian Doyle with the International Sports Federation and Global Serve, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
We're back. Youth Ministry Sherpas, episode number 5.
Welcome, everybody. This is Steve Anderson.
And I'm Matthew McCabe.
Welcome back to the Youth Ministry Sherpas. Thanks for listening to us. We really appreciate it. Trying to do the best we can to encourage youth workers to keep going. By the way, we have a contest going on right now.
Ooh, could you win something?
You could win a $50 Sherpa prize pack.
What's it even in a Sherpa prize pack?
You know, people have been asking us, and I've been telling them, it's an alpaca sweater, a pair of old socks, and some stale trail mix.
That's what an actual Sherpa would probably have in their pack, but ours will be much more fabulous than
It will. We are putting our own money out for this, so we're going to get something really cool.
Absolutely.
And we hope you win. To win, what do they have to do?
They have to go to our website, youthministrysherpas.com, and sign up for our e-newsletter. It's super simple.
Yep.
And we promise not to sell your email address to Amazon or any other business like that.
No, just sign up and you'll be entered in a chance to win, which will be awesome.
And you have until March the 15th to sign up.
That's right.
So go out there and sign up.
So today we're going to talk about awkward kids.
Every youth group has them. Some have more, some have less, but no youth group is immune to having at least at any given time a few awkward kids.
Absolutely. And we have both been the awkward kid on occasion. Maybe not quite that often as we might fear,
well,
but you know.
Speak for yourself. I tend to think I'm that awkward person every now and again, maybe more often than I'd like to be.
Yeah, that's true. We have a little motto here in our youth group we use sometimes. We're awkward, so you don't have to be. So,
I love it. Yeah. You should put that on a shirt, honestly.
I think we should. We stole it from somebody, so I don't think I can do that. But do you have any good stories about really awkward moments in your life?
Multiple stories I could tell. One that I recall, I like to talk. I'm a talker, and I love to just dive into conversations full force. And I remember right after we were hired here in Maryland, my wife and I moved here, started at the church. They hired me as a student pastor. And as soon as we got here and got settled in, the church started the process to hire a new worship pastor.
Okay.
We had the other worship pastor had been asked to no longer, services were no longer required at the church.
I think we call that getting fired.
I think he got fired, yes. Anyway, so we were at a meeting where we didn't know anybody from anybody yet.
Yeah.
You know, we'd been at the church for maybe a month. We're in this kind of social situation and we're just meeting people and talking. And my wife and I are talking to this gal and, you know, what does your husband do? What, you know, that kind of stuff. And she says, well, my husband's a worship pastor.
Oh, so you're recruiting then.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh my goodness, that is unbelievably serendipitous that your husband's a worship pastor. I might have even used the word serendipitous.
That's impressive.
It's a big word.
Can you spell
it? And I said, because you can't believe it. Our church, we're just starting the process of looking for a new worship pastor. You should tell your husband to apply. And meanwhile, I'm getting this stare from across the room from somebody who's overhearing the conversation, but it was just too late to intervene. Turns out we were talking to the wife of the gentleman who the church had let go about 4 months earlier.
Of course.
And so insert foot into mouth, chew vigorously. I was so embarrassed. But, I mean, we were just beyond the point. It was so awkward.
I have to know. Did he apply?
No, he did not. And honestly, I'll take blame for my awkwardness in that situation. But I also had to think, why is she? This was a gathering at church.
At the church.
Why is she there?
She was there?
She was still there. That
she
made,
was the awkward
that
one.
That made it awkward. She handled it very well.
Okay.
And was very gracious about it. But I went home thinking, I am going to lose this job before I even get started.
You know, you didn't fire his wife. You only fired, I mean,
true story.
Yeah, so.
How about you? You got any awkward moments that you can remember from your
growing
up years?
Plenty, but I'm thinking of one in particular from high school. So I was a walker in high school. I had to walk. Not a walker as in The Walking Dead.
Not a zombie.
I wasn't a zombie.
Okay, you're a walker.
But I had to walk to school. I lived in a small town.
2 miles uphill both ways?
Absolutely.
In snow?
In fact, it was like 8 feet of snow.
Obviously.
And so this one particular day, I lived about maybe 8/10 of a mile from the school.
Not bad.
But I was chronically late. So there was a winter day. It was really cold. It was maybe 10 degrees. This is Western Pennsylvania. And I'm late for school. I'm, of course, rushing to get there. It's one of those days where, you know, the snot freezes in your nose and your hair is frozen and you're just miserable, and I'm rushing to school and I'm late. And I'm about maybe a quarter mile from the school, and a car pulls up alongside the sidewalk, pulls over and stops right where I'm walking. And I look over and I recognized the driver of the car. It was another student from my school. I thought, this is great. It's so cold. I'm late. And he's stopping to give me a ride.
What a nice guy.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a kind thing to do, right? So I go over and I open up the passenger door and I sit down in the car. And the guy behind the wheel looks at me and just says, hey. And I said, hey. And then he sat there. He didn't pull away from the curb.
Well, that's awkward.
It was very awkward. And I'm thinking, this is strange. I wonder why we're still sitting here. And after about 20 seconds of silence, I look over and there's someone coming out of the front door of the house that the car was stopped in front of. And this guy got in the car in the back seat and he looks at me kind of strange and he looks at the driver and I realized they weren't picking me up at all. I just got in this guy's car.
Wow. Wow, see, that's a bold move right there.
I know. It was great. I got a free ride to school. I was not late.
Very awkward ride.
I was warm. It was worth every minute of awkwardness.
And now you're your best friends to this day.
No, we're not. I don't even remember who it was. But yeah, super awkward.
But he
moment.
Probably tells a story about the time that weird guy yeah. got in his car uninvited.
Who was that kid? What was he doing in my car?
Awkward moments.
Yeah. So awkward kids in the youth ministry. There's lots of awkward moments, of course. And some of them are really instigated by the most awkward of the kids in our youth ministry.
Yes.
So we were thinking about this, and awkward kids really present challenges, right?
They also, yes, certainly challenges. For sure there are challenges with awkward kids, but we also think that they provide opportunities, opportunities for the group, opportunities for us as leaders to grow and to be better. So we wanted to talk about both sides of the equation with the handful of the typical awkward kids every youth group has.
Yeah, we have some stereotypes. Now keep in mind, you know, we are all awkward to some degree. And so we're not trying to, castigate these kids for the way that God has made them. It's just a reality that some kids are a little more socially awkward than others. Some are a lot more socially awkward than others. And it just presents a unique challenge for those type of kids in a bigger group.
And it seems that, and I think this is a good thing, it seems that the church and youth ministries, by default, they collect them. and again, I do think that
may be true.
Although there are some challenges there, I think it's a good thing. I think that's a good sign because, you'd like an environment where people that are a little more socially awkward than everybody else are just as welcome as sort of the raging extrovert who just gets along with everybody and is easy to deal with.
That's true. If we're creating the kind of atmosphere in our groups that an awkward kid feels at home and he's welcomed and part of the community with the other kids,
that's a good thing.
That's probably a really good thing.
It's a really good thing. So anyways, we have four different categories that we've come up. This is not exhaustive. I'm sure you could tell us about a different category, and these are broad brush strokes. Again, we're not trying to put anybody in a box. We're not trying to label anybody, but we, you know, just for the sake of the discussion, we've kind of organized them around a couple of different kids. And that first kid that can be a little awkward, a little bit difficult to deal with in our group is sort of what we like to call the know-it-all, the person who tends to know everything already. They tend to be maybe a little bit on the tech side because, again, they know everything.
Right. Have you had those kids in your youth ministry?
Had a handful, actually. I'm probably sure there hasn't been a year gone by that I've had at least one of them, especially in the last, 10 or 15 years as technology moves real fast and you have a younger generation who tends to pick up on that technology faster. It feeds that awkward kid into really believing he knows more than you know.
Yeah, and sometimes they do in the sense of they may know the technologies better or whatever. They know how to do this on the computer. But that doesn't translate into spiritual maturity or wisdom. Or
even social graces how to bring that knowledge to the larger body in a way that is constructive and helpful. Sometimes it is not constructive and sometimes not helpful.
Yeah, so one of the challenges that comes up with a student like this is they can be unteachable. I've had some students over the years and they tended to be the more, I'll say, nerdy tech kind of kid who just didn't really listen to any advice. Maybe they thought they had more skills than they did. They thought, one student thought he was this great sound engineer, and just wasn't very teachable. And so it becomes difficult when you're trying to, you know, get the best out of somebody and they're not really listening to your advice. It's hard.
It's hard because there is an opportunity there, because in many of these cases, again, they do actually have maybe a knowledge that we don't have, or they have some ability that we don't necessarily have. And so there's an opportunity to harness that. And again, they lack the social graces about bringing about. I had a student who was very gifted graphically, you know, so he figured out how to work Adobe PageMaker and some of those graphic programs, and just had kind of a flair for the creative. Now, but again, he lacked the social graces, and so every Sunday he would mock the graphic that I had made for whatever message it was or series we were in. And I'll be and I mean,
so kind,
not kind about it at all. I mean, like, not mocking in like a funny ha ha, but like in a seriously, you suck, and I could do this better in my sleep kind of stuff, which was difficult to hear. Now, again, because I'm an adult, and because I can think a little bit bigger. He was right. I was terrible. I'm terrible graphically. Like, I couldn't make a graphic if my life depended on it. I just can't do it. But again, at that point in time, there wasn't anybody else to do it. I get the paycheck, so I made the graphics.
You're going to drop in your avatars into Instagram.
I do like doing that.
I'm pretty impressed with that,
actually.
I do
like my Bitmojis and my things like that. But that's a whole different ballgame.
Because I haven't figured out how to do that yet, so you're ahead of me.
Doesn't translate. So anyway, so I challenged this kid.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'll tell you what. If you think you could do better in your sleep, well, then why don't you make the graphics? How about I get you the topic and maybe some ideas that I had in my head, and you just put them to work? And he was like, okay. And honestly, from that point on, I had no trouble with him, because I had tapped into something he wanted to do, something he actually was better at than me. We had better graphics. I mean, they weren't professional, but they were certainly better than what I was doing. So there is an opportunity there. But again, that worked out well for me sometimes with these awkward kids.
Yeah.
And if they're unteachable, it doesn't work out so well.
But at least you gave him an opportunity to serve and tried to leverage his abilities and his skills for the benefit of everybody, including him, developing him as a student leader.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work out.
Exactly.
But you gave it a shot.
Right. So you got to give it a shot. You got to take that opportunity. Because there were opportunities in there for me to talk to him a little bit about sort of the way he communicated about things, which was brash and harsh and not welcoming. And because I was giving him a badge, because I was giving him a job, I said, well, you know, we can't really be that. That's not the kind of group we're trying to be. So if you're going to have a leadership position, even if it's behind the scenes, like, to me, that's a badge. You got a name tag. You got a role. You know, we got to figure out how to interact with people better. And it was opportunity for him to grow. And it, again, it was challenging, obviously, but it was rewarding too, because there was an opportunity there. But again,
Doesn't always work out. So give it a shot. See if you can find a place for these kids to really serve and use their skills. It may be rough. You may have some stormy waters, but you know, you might end up with a really great situation too. And we've had students who have gotten really involved in the tech side of things, and that's what they're pursuing with their life, which is awesome.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Opportunity.
So the second kind of kid that we thought of is the sheltered kid.
Yes, the sheltered kid, yes.
So we are in Maryland, and it's a pretty progressive state. We're not in the Bible Belt in any sense. And so we got all kinds of kids in our youth ministry, from homeschool conservative kids to kids whose parents have never been to church. So there's a wide range of spiritual knowledge and maturity, and sometimes that creates some trouble within the community.
Yeah, some awkwardness in that, because of some of the things that are happening in our culture here,
right?
You know, in the schools and in the county that are much more on the progressive and liberal side, and as is the case sometimes in the Christian church, the reaction to that is to pull away.
Right.
And so they pull away and they shelter and they bubble and they kind of helicopter over them to keep them from the whatever evils there are. And again, sometimes this is the decision of the student, of the kid. You know, they're that way by nature, and so they pull away. Sometimes it's not the kid's fault at all. We have parents. And again, I'm not trying to blame them, but there are parents who I think sometimes overreact to the culture and then create sort of that sheltered thing. And when you put that student into the larger pool of youth ministry where there are kids who have not been sheltered, it can create awkward moments.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about my wife's small group right now. She has everything from homeschool to Christian school to public school, and there's a fair number of girls in that group. So some of the girls are thinking about boys. They are more, worldly, a little more aware of what's going on. Some are really sheltered and they're super sweet. But when the conversation comes up about this thing at school or this friend who's using drugs or whatever it might be, it throws the conservative kids for a loop.
Sure, absolutely. some of the challenges there are even just honest conversations in small groups, because you've got kids who are ostensibly the same age and coming from the same place in life, but
they're far different.
So far different. Yeah. And so you get these conversations and, you get parents calling or even kids calling. I'm really uncomfortable because we talked about pot in my small group. Yeah. Whereas, the other kids like, look, I deal with that every day at school. It's not awkward. So there are lots of challenges. There's challenges to how we program our ministries.
That's true.
With those kind of something as simple as we're having an evening where we're just going to have a movie night. We're going to show a movie. Well, boy, as the leader, boy, you have just opened up a can of worms because there are going to be kids and families, the representative in your group from the sheltered side, that are just not going to be okay with things.
I got a funny story. Here's something not to do. Don't have the movie night at the family in the church who doesn't own a television. I'm just going to suggest that. I've been there and I made that mistake.
I was going to say, that seems like a pretty obvious thing, Steve, so I'm not sure how that happened.
I don't know how it happened. We were going to show the controversial movie Chicken Run.
I've heard just terrible things about that movie.
It's terrible. There's naked chickens in it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and I got kickback from the parent because they didn't have a television, and they were like, I don't know about this movie. Is this movie okay?
Yeah,
it's actually animated with chickens. So.
Yeah, so there are definitely lots of challenges there, but I also think that there are some opportunities there. There are opportunities for both the kids in our group who are not sheltered to see life through maybe a more innocent, maybe a more pure lens.
Yeah.
And I do think that there's an opportunity for those kids who are sheltered to see life through maybe a more realistic, maybe a more honest lens.
So the rub comes, though, when the parents may not have the same perspective on that we do. So if you have conservative parents, sheltering parents, who don't want their kids exposed to anything that's going on in the world, that causes some friction too. I've had that multiple occasions over the years. That's hard to deal with because you realize that you have some responsibility to prepare kids to serve the kingdom of God in this world that is going to present these challenges. They can't live in a cave.
Right.
We want them to engage in the world and make a difference for Jesus in the world.
Ministry of Jesus, the prayer of Jesus in John 17. Yeah. I don't pray that you take them out of the world. I pray that you protect them in the world. So we have this scriptural mandate.
Yeah.
So it's a delicate balance for sure.
To respect the parents too.
To respect the parents and their wishes, but to also help to push them. And again, I also think that on the other side, to some of our kids who are sort of just in the thick of it in the public school system, who are maybe desensitized to some of those things that are clearly just not a part of what they should be thinking about and be exposed to, but yet it's become so second nature to them. I think there's an opportunity for them that is afforded by some of those students who are sort of on the other opposite of the spectrum to maybe take a step back and go, maybe I'm a little too desensitized to pot and whatever is out there.
Don't you love how we're giving you easy answers, listeners?
Yeah,
we just have this all figured out.
Yeah,
three steps and it's going to be perfect.
Yeah, this is a tough one for sure. I think all of these.
This will remain a challenge. So it's just something to think about, how to integrate those diverse kind of spiritual maturity levels and
different they're coming from, just in their place in life. Now, another student that pretty much every youth group has is the super shy kid. We're not talking about the shy kid. There's shy kids everywhere, and that's great. And I think, Steve, you would come across on the shy end of the spectrum, wouldn't you? I think
a little bit.
I think you're a super swell guy. We're talking about the super, super shy kids. The kids that are, sometimes it's hard to get them to speak.
I haven't seen Pitch Perfect, but I understand there's a character in the movie.
Low talker
who nobody can hear.
Yes.
Yeah. We've had those in our youth ministry before. Absolutely. I mean, literally that extreme. And boy, it's hard because we tell our student leadership team, we have a hospitality section of that team, and we tell them, hey, make everybody feel welcome, greet everybody. Can you start a conversation? Sometimes you can't.
You're asking them to do something that maybe even a seasoned adult veteran would have a hard
time. Nobody can get these kids to talk.
Right.
It's really, really awkward.
Yeah.
But you know what? There is something about these types of students that they're a work in progress. Mm-hmm. And sometimes all they want to do is just be part of the group. They don't have to be brought into the game. They don't have to answer the question. They just are happy just being there.
Right.
How do we recognize
yeah.
that?
Yeah, because I think it's one of the biggest challenges yeah. with these super shy kids is that from a non-super shy kid, which was me, even in high school, and it's still me now, you could look yeah. at that person and from the outside feel like they're being left out. They're not a part of the group. Something is going wrong, and then your spidey senses go up, and you think, okay, I gotta get a student to go engage them. When sometimes they're actually more than happy to not be the center mm-hmm. of the game, to not be the middle of the conversation, but just to be just one step outside the circle, but still know that they are part of that group.
Yeah.
And because we've had those students before, and again, on the surface, you'd think these kids are having a terrible time, but they come back every week because they might not be. And so it's that the challenge is trying to find that balance of engaging that student on some level to make sure that they know that you're welcome, but to also respect that they don't want you to turn them into you.
Yeah.
Turn them into the outgoing, the extroverted, the
That's
loud.
That's a good way to say it, yeah.
That they just want to be a part of it, and they want to be respected for their personality type, just like they're maybe respecting you for yours.
I think there are clearly people who love big group, who love to be in the midst of a crowd and be all hyped up and have a great, exciting time. And then there's other people who they're perfectly content to be in a smaller group. They don't really like the bigger group. And that's often the shyer type of kid. So, I think if we have multifaceted environments in the youth ministry, that helps.
Yeah.
Because there's something then for everybody. So the shy kid, maybe they don't like the big group when it's getting nuts.
Oh.
But, they're not going to play the Jell-O game.
Right.
But they're going to love maybe a conversation and group around the table with three other kids.
Yeah. And again, the challenge is to know when to engage and when to back off. I remember actually an awkward situation that I created because I didn't see that line. I didn't see the super shy kid was on our spring retreat. One of our big things we do in the spring retreat is we do this ginormous volleyball tournament. Okay. Or not volleyball, dodgeball tournament.
Yeah.
The teams are set. There's colors. Everybody's dressed in the same colors.
This kid's absolute worst nightmare.
His worst nightmares. We got 120 kids in the gymnasium.
Do not throw balls at this kid.
Yeah, 120 kids in the gymnasium. It's loud. It's crazy. The music's pumping. And, of course, we want to pump this thing up. So we the first round, every team gets introduced, and they run through a tunnel.
Oh.
Like they're coming out of the football stadium, And
I've got a story like this, too.
So we're on the microphone. We're yelling. And, of course, I'm on the microphone, and I say this kid's name, and they're just sitting against the wall, and they're just they want nothing to do with running through the tunnel. But of course, I'm cheesed because I'm like, no, I set this
get that kid in here.
This is your moment to shine, and I want you to shine. And of course, this person's going,
oh my gosh.
Don't want to shine. But I pushed so hard for that kid to run through the tunnel that the gym got quiet, 120 people. It was just awkward for everybody.
Oh my gosh!
I regret it to this day because I didn't see that. No, she was happy to be on the team, happy to be wearing a yellow shirt with her yellow team, and was happy to stand in the back and wait till the ball hit her so she could sit down and be out as fast as possible. And I wanted to run through the tunnel, but she wanted nothing to do with that. And it was just that awkward of okay, I need to read the situation better.
We did the exact same thing. We have this freshman welcome that we do. We bring in the freshmen for the first time, and we do a burrito banquet. We order Chipotle, and we introduce each kid, and we have them escorted into the room by an upperclassman. And so I've got these freshman girls, incoming freshman girls lined up, and I've got these upperclassmen boys. And I'm thinking, this is a great moment for them.
This is not going anywhere good.
You know, they get to walk in with this handsome high school guy. And this one girl, oh my gosh, if looks could kill, she sent daggers through my skull. She was like,
she was so angry.
And honestly, we thought it was pretty funny, but now that we're having this conversation, I'm thinking, that probably wasn't the best.
It wasn't a great idea.
At the time, it was pretty funny. She did get a free burrito out of it, wasn't that bad.
So the challenge is to understand at what level to engage that super shy kid and at what level to just allow them to be super shy and not push them out of it. And I think there's opportunities for everybody in the group to just, again, be diverse in personality. So.
And sometimes kids change over time. Mm-hmm. We've had students that were really shy 6th, 7th, 8th grade, and they just blossomed. They got some opportunity, you know, or they just finally felt comfortable. I had one of my girls was a summer intern for me in 7th grade. She would walk in. She would hold her Bible to her chest and not talk to anybody if she would come at all. And, you know, by senior year, she was one of my best student leaders.
That's
so
great.
You just never know.
Yeah. Never know.
That brings us to the last category. And this one is, it seems increasing in our society. And that's the autistic kids.
Yeah, kids that are on the spectrum in some way, shape, or form. Whether we just didn't know about this in the past or whether it's become more prevalent, either way. I think that students that are on the spectrum, whether it be mild or even a little more severe, they're starting to show up in our churches and our student ministries. And I think that's great.
It is.
It's a wonderful opportunity, but there are definitely some challenges there.
Yeah, we just had a mother bring her son to our youth ministry because he's autistic. I think he's in 7th grade. Goes to the public school, and she said he gets picked on there, and she just wanted a place for him where he felt welcomed. And she brought him to our youth ministry. I thought that was great. He's only been here once. It was just 2 weeks ago. So hopefully he had a great time.
I think that illuminates one of the greatest opportunities.
Absolutely.
Is to, if the church, and by nature our student ministry, which is a part of the church, if we cannot be that group of people where somebody who doesn't quite, it wouldn't be considered normal. And
doesn't
whatever
quite
that
fit in
what, doesn't
elsewhere.
Quite fit in. If we can't create a group where that person can belong and feel accepted and feel welcomed, well, then I think we're just everything else we're doing is kind of useless because that's the point. And I think it's such a great opportunity for our students to understand what it means to welcome everybody,
absolutely,
not just the people that look like them, act like them, talk like them.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a great opportunity there.
I'm really proud of our students. We have a number of autistic kids in the ministry right now, and they've just welcomed them. Some of those kids are just, they're as much part of the group as anybody else. They are completely plugged in. One of the ways that we helped facilitate that is we allowed dad to come along with the kid on occasion, especially on trips, just to make sure he was where he was supposed to be and, you know, got all his signals right. So we just let that happen, and gradually that has diminished and been less necessary. And dad was great, but he's just become completely part of our group. It's awesome.
Yeah,
I love this kid.
Yeah. The challenges are that every one of them is going to be different.
Yeah, there are some that are harder, for sure.
And so you have to take a very individualistic approach, and you have to work with the parents, and you have to find ways to integrate them.
You have to have enough leaders, too, to really be able to handle.
Yeah, and you have to, and again, those leaders need to be fully trained and equipped, because again, there's only so much we can expect out of 15 to, or 12 to 18-year-olds as far as being welcoming. Again, we want to challenge them towards that, but when it comes to the leaders, you know, we had this student in our middle school group, he's actually in our high school group now, but when he was in middle school, on quite a few occasions on a Sunday morning, he would choose only to speak in beeps. Like, he wouldn't speak audible words. He would just, when you'd ask him a question, he'd beep, 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 you know. And
like the Roadrunner?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Or more like he's beeping out some kind of something he shouldn't say.
Oh, okay. No. Just,
it's like,
just,
hey, beep.
No. It was just sort of like the,
I've had enough of this. Beep.
Beep, 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 beep. And it was incredible. And again, I'd love to take credit for this. I just think we had just an absolutely amazing leader who was that student small group. And I watched them. They would respond in beeps.
Oh my gosh.
And they would have
Morse
these
code?
Unintelligible conversations with each other. But you could just tell, almost watch this kid sort of shoulders relax, like, wait, you're gonna just accept this, not mock me or make fun. And of course this kid has come a long way, and he's in a high school group now, and he actually uses words and,
really?
And speaks. And but he still to this day has a great relationship with that leader. That leader calls him Beep Beep. Hey, Beep Beep, how you doing? And they laugh about it because it was accepted. It was, okay, this is who you are at this moment, and I'm going to take it. And so we have to equip our leaders to set the example. And again, that leader set the example for the students to not be like,
right,
like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. He made it not weird, which then the kids were like, okay, well, I guess this isn't weird. And they just rolled with it. And again, here we are 5 years later, and now he's a junior in the high school group, and he's still deeply involved, which I think we could have lost him had we reacted differently in that situation. So I think we have to equip our leaders to be ready to – we got to be ready for Beep Beep.
We've got to teach them to speak many languages.
Yes, exactly.
Including the language of beep.
Which I think the main language is the language of acceptance.
Yeah,
language of I'm going to meet you where you are, and again we had I had conversations with that leader like, okay, am I doing should I be handling this different? And then we had conversations with the parents, and it ended up being just a really growing experience for everybody involved. But
that's cool.
Yeah, we got to provide that environment where somebody who quote unquote doesn't fit in anywhere else finds a place to fit in our ministry. I think that is just the greatest opportunity for anybody who's on the spectrum.
I have a motto. I say it to our group all the time. I'm pretty proud of this motto, actually. It's the greatest need of the human heart is to belong.
Right.
I just think that is ultimately true.
No matter
and
who
if,
you are.
If we're creating a community where people can belong, whether they're the tech kid, whether they're the know-it-all, they're the sheltered kid, the shy kid, or even the autistic kid, then we are definitely doing God a great service for the kingdom.
Absolutely.
So that's what we want to be about. And it's not easy.
Nope. And I wish I could
say it doesn't always work. It
doesn't always work. I talked about that tech kid who made fun of me, and then we turned him loose, and it was wonderful, but I probably have as many stories for when I turned someone loose and it didn't go well.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a great story about Beep Beep and how he reacted. But I can think of another family who had someone who it did not go well. And somehow we did not do well.
Yep.
And they ended up leaving the church and ended up saying unfortunate things to each other on the way out of the church. And we've reconciled that since. We've reconciled that since, which is wonderful. But it doesn't always go well. Because there are a lot of challenges there, but there are. With the challenges come great opportunities.
Yeah. And ultimately, it's such a great opportunity just to teach our own students in our group how to get along with everybody. The kingdom of God is a weird thing, man. There are all kinds of people. The world is a weird thing. All kinds of people. And learning to get along with people in the crucible of odd relationships and awkwardness and even conflict is just a gift that we're giving to our kids if we can navigate them through that.
Navigate it. So just as you as youth workers think about staying in the game for a long time, keep going, which is what we're all about, just understand that you will have each of these kind of kids. In fact, I can almost guarantee that you will have one or multiple of these kind of awkward kids in your group at all times. It's almost like it's a law. It's almost like there's some like law of averages out there that says every youth group gets one for sure. Because of the opportunities that are there. So,
I think so.
Be prepared for it. embrace it. Embrace the challenges. Embrace the opportunities and see what God's going to do in your group.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. Well, thanks for listening today. We want to ask you, if you would, to go to iTunes, give us a review. That really helps us, helps our rankings climb a little bit so more people can find this podcast, which is a good thing for us.
We'd like that. We'd also love for you to go to follow us on Instagram, Youth Ministry Sherpas, follow us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. When you're on that Facebook page, which the page is what we're going to use for sort of marketing and getting the word out, but we've also created a closed group for youth workers to maybe have conversations so you can have honest conversation without the world seeing it. So you'll find a link on our Facebook page into that closed group. We'd love to invite you in there for conversation. We'd love for you to tell us what you have found with working with some of these awkward kids, or maybe tell us about an awkward kid we didn't even talk about in this episode.
Categories we didn't think of. So join the community, be part of the conversation. That would be awesome. That's what we're looking for, so that we can help you to keep going. So next episode.
Episode number 6.
We're going to be talking about something that we've all experienced, which is the epic mission trip disasters.
Yes, because mission trips are wonderful, but they come with all kinds of unpredictable situations, some of which we have had pretty strong experiences of. So we look forward to that conversation.
Tune in next week, and we got some good stories for you. Again, thanks for listening to Youth Ministry Sherpas, helping youth workers to keep going.
See you next week.